Here they come. Turn four. Final lap.
Live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Rev up your engines and get ready for the racing weekend.
Here they come. Checkered flag.
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Martin Truex Jr. cruising to his 28th career win in the NASCAR Cup Series. Truex wins Phoenix. And that ties him for 28th on the all-time list with Carl Edwards and 1960 champion Rex White.
That's right. Welcome in. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming on the Game Nashville app. You can watch us on Facebook, Twitch, Twitter, everything on the webs, on the interwebs. You can check that out. Good morning. Chase McCabe here with you. We're here every Saturday at 9 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, talking racing, NASCAR, IndyCar coming to our city. It's all going to be there. But Martin Truex Jr., he goes to Phoenix, and he gets the win. And I think this is big, not only for Joe Gibbs Racing, but for Martin Truex Jr. and his confidence, because he broke a 29-race winless streak with that win at Phoenix, his first win at Phoenix. And I told you last week, you know, who I thought really had a good chance to win. When I was doing my research on Phoenix, Martin Truex Jr. was not a name that I really looked at. Historically, he had not done all that great there. And like I said, it never won, but had a good race car on Sunday for Joe Gibbs, had solid speed, and was able to take over the lead from Joey Logano, who had the, at least for a good portion of the race, had the best car. But Truex, as the race went on, showed that he had the best car, and he was able to get the win. So that was huge. He only had the one win last year, finished seventh in points. You know, that broke a streak of basically back-to-back-to-back years, finishing in the top two. He won the championship, of course, with Furniture Row, and then finished second, and then goes to Joe Gibbs, finishes second, but not so much last year. But the biggest difference was Cole Pearn left the team, his longtime crew chief, with Furniture Row, and then the transition to Joe Gibbs. And so James Small takes over as his crew chief, and sometimes it takes a driver and crew chief a little bit longer to get on the same page. And that, you know, I think that that's the process that they have been going through over the past 2 years, and now they're on the same page. And so it's resulted in the fifth race of the season with them getting a victory and finding their way to victory lane. Here is Martin Truex Jr. with Fox Sports' Jamie Little after the win.
Awesome job by everybody. James, Blake, fixing it, all the pit crew guys. I mean, just really, really solid. I mean, I thought at the beginning of the race, I thought we were going to run 15th or so. And, I can't really believe it. I'm kind of speechless. This feels pretty amazing, you know. Phoenix has been a tough one for us, and to come here and win this, I wish it was November, but, hopefully we can come back here in November and have a shot at being in the Final Four. But, just so thankful, so proud of everybody at JGR and everybody that makes this possible.
Yeah, Martin Truex Jr. With Fox Sports, and that came up a lot. I watched his post-race press conference, and that was brought up quite a bit about how does – your performance today prepare you for November. And I think a lot of drivers that are aiming for the Final Four there in the championship four there in November were thinking that, because it's essentially a test session. And as we have seen the last several years, I mean, a long time, really under this format too, especially, that you basically got to win that last race to win the championship. Chase Elliott did it last November, Kyle Busch, when it was at Homestead. I mean, that's typically what happens, that you got to win that race. And so now that he's got one under his belt here, that certainly prepares him. But a long way to go. This win just ensures that he is in the playoffs when they get to that point. So Martin Truex Jr. with that win, and a good one for him. It definitely was needed. And I've always liked Martin Truex Jr. He's been on the show several times, and it's well documented what he and longtime girlfriend Sherry Pollux have gone through with her battling cancer, and so you always pull for a guy like that, and he's just a good guy in the garage area and a hell of a race car driver. I mean, you think his early days with DEI, it took him a while to get a win, and he didn't win a lot after that. Goes to Michael Waltrip Racing, kind of the same thing, but it was one of those deals where it kind of looked like maybe his career was over, goes to Furniture Row, and something clicked. They got in Toyotas and hooked up with Gibbs, and he and Cole Pern got on the same page, and they just started rattling off a lot of wins and a championship. And now he's with Gibbs after Furniture Row shut down, and you know it's continued. So Truex leads the way with the win, led 64 laps. Joey Logano came home second after, you know, like I said, dominating portions of the race. 143 laps led. It's his second top five of the season, third top 10. I think he's close to winning, but as he told Fox Sports, second, not so fun.
I was surprised he was able to hang with me on that start. You know, I felt like he had a good start too, but I had a good one on the bottom, and I thought the amount I shortcutted it down the dog leg, I thought, boy, I'm going to have him clear. And then we went in the corner, it was still door-to-door, and when you're door-to-door, the outside car has control of you. And I'm pretty sure even if I beat him on that start, he was still going to hound me and probably get by me. They had the best car. They tuned it in. We had a good car for sure, but once they tuned it in towards the end of the second stage, that was the best car on the racetrack. He just had to get up front, and he did. And so I'm proud of the Shell Pennzoil team. We did a great job all day execution-wise, you know, staying up front, good pit stops, getting us back up front when we lost our track position. And overall, a solid day. A stage win and some points and in the second place, so we'll take it. It's not a win. Second hurts, but we'll move on and go to Atlanta.
Second hurts. Yeah, I would imagine. You've heard drivers say that a few times over the years. I know Dale Earnhardt Sr. said second's just the first place loser. But you gotta put those solid finishes together to try and win championships. You can't win every week. You're not going to win every week, and I think that these drivers know that. But Joey Logano with another solid finish. Like I said, his third top 10 out of five races. Denny Hamlin, the points leader, comes home third. We'll get to him. Brad Keselowski, fourth. Chase Elliott with a solid top five. Kevin Harvick, he comes home sixth. Kyle Larson, who had won the week before, is seventh. William Byron, another winner this year, eighth. Christopher Bell, another winner this year, ninth. And Ryan Blaney with another top 10 finish, something that he needed to try and work his way back up in the standings. Five different winners to start the season, which is, you know, I like that. I like seeing different winners and not the same guy win every week. One thing that we have seen over the last few years, and I was watching Dale Jr. Download to, and as he was talking about this in his Ask Jr. segment, about the PJ1 traction compound. And you've heard me on this show or Darren Donick and Chase refer to the PJ1 when talking about Nashville and how they'll use it there and what exactly it is. Basically, it's a sticky compound that they put on the racetrack, and it helps the cars stick to the track, get grip, because you hear drivers all the time talking about grip. They got to have grip. Sliding around, never a good thing. So they put the PJ1 traction compound on at Phoenix, and they loaded it up. I mean, they had a lot on there, especially for the Xfinity race. And I thought it was a little bit too much, and I know some of the drivers were thinking, yeah, maybe it's a little too much, because the bottom, you just couldn't do anything because they were so sticky up top. I mean, that was just the way to go. The Cup race, you know, it had worn off a little bit after the Xfinity race, and as the race went on, it wore off. I think it makes for some good racing. Again, I know, as Dale Jr. was saying, and he's one of them, that it wasn't really as prevalent his last year. I know they used it at Bristol a few years ago after they did the, you know, the resurface and all of that. But, you know, he's not a huge fan from what I could gather, and some aren't. But I think it certainly helps with the way these cars are set up and the, you know, how the rules package that they're using with these cars. I certainly think that it helps. But Joey Logano talked about the PJ1.
Yeah, I mean, the traction compound was really strong in the beginning, and it seemed like, especially down in 3 and 4, towards the end of the race, was less and less. It was just wearing off. So kind of what you would expect there. So, you know, I thought towards the end of the race,
you know, you run a few laps on the bottom, you know, four or five laps maybe on restarts before you moved up. So that was, I felt like it was pretty racy at the end.
And it was. I mean, I think it set up for some good racing towards the end of that one at Phoenix. And I would say for the Nashville Super Speedway, you know, that's going to help. I really like this downforce package that they run with these cars and are going to run out here come June. Putting the PJ1 on the concrete track, I believe, is going to help a lot. And so I feel like the show's going to be pretty good. They got 3 days. You know, the trucks are going to be there, the Xfinity Series, and of course, the Cup Series. And so I think that's really going to help the product and help the racing. And of course, this show brought to you by Nashville Super Speedway, the Ally 400 weekend coming up June 18th, 19th, and 20th with the Cup race on Father's Day. The Ally 400, you can go to NashvilleSuperspeedway.com to get your tickets. And speaking of the Nashville Super Speedway, they are going to be having their first on-track, as I can pull up the press release here, they're going to have their first on-track event coming up on Tuesday. Goodyear is going to hold a tire test. This is closed to the public, but it'll be the first time some drivers have been on the track since they announced that it was reopening. You'll have Chase Briscoe, Christopher Bell, Kurt Busch out there testing for Goodyear as they can come up with the tire compound that they're going to use for race weekend. But they're also going to have some legends, Nashville Franklin's own Darrell Waltrip, the Hall of Famer Dale Jarrett, and former crew chief Steve Letarte will also be in attendance. So looking forward to that and having them out there and seeing race cars on the track for the first time in about 10 years. That's going to be really cool. Speaking of testing, also wanted to mention Bubba Wallace tested the next-gen car at the Richmond Raceway this week. It was, again, a Goodyear tire test. Didn't really do as much with the car. It was more with the tires and how the tires work with the new car. Said the balance didn't really change throughout the test session. The tires do fall off pretty fast, so that's something that they're going to look at. And the car sounded, quote, mean, which we have heard that quite a bit with that engine. So some news and notes. When we come back here on Chasing Checkers, no guests this week. We've got a lot to talk about. NASCAR has shown that they are not afraid to try new things. And this is something that I have been a huge fan of over the past couple of years, really since somebody like Steve O'Donnell and Steve Phelps have been in charge. I think that that has been huge for the sport. We will discuss that and much more and what is ahead for the sport. We'll do that when we come back here on Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway on ESPN 102.5, the Game and the Game Nashville app. Welcome back, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, the Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. You can also watch on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, all of those things. And follow us on Twitter at Chasen_Checkers as well. NASCAR has shown their ability to try new things. And that wasn't, I'm not going to say that wasn't always the case, because in some ways it was. But they wanted to go to new racetracks. They wanted to go to new markets. But they weren't the right places. They were trying to go out west into places that, you know, people just, it's not their thing. And you have to know your audience, right? You have to know your market. You have to know where you're supposed to be. And NASCAR, I think, had to learn that the hard way. Now they have the right people in place. You know, Mike Helton has always done a good job, but Steve Phelps, the president, Steve O'Donnell, executive vice president, and now they have shown that, you know what? We're going to try new things. We're going to shake up the schedule. We're going to go back to our roots. We're going to go to new places and new tracks and, you know, road courses and things like that. But we're also going to recognize that the Southeast is where our bread and butter is and where it always has been. Prime example, Atlanta this weekend. They're now running two races at Atlanta again. They're now running two races at Darlington again. Those are two places that I am totally fine going twice a year. Somewhere like Michigan, I think you only need to go once a year. Pocono, one weekend a year, even though they're doing the double races, which I'm fine with. But you don't need to go two weekends a year. There's just some places that, you know, let them have the uniqueness of once a year. You know, Nashville comes to mind as as things progress with the fairgrounds. Like I've been saying on this show, this is a market they should be here twice a year. I think it'd be cool to be at the Super Speedway, proud sponsor of this show, and the fairgrounds. That'd be awesome. It allows them the opportunity, though, to mix and match and to try new things. And I talked with Steve O'Donnell, the executive vice president, back in October before championship weekend at Phoenix. And what led me into this question was the fact that the pandemic forced them to do some things, forced them to have midweek races and doubleheaders and things like that. And they had already scheduled the Pocono doubleheader. So it wasn't like the pandemic, you know, created all these things. It just forced them into to do it faster. And so I asked him about midweek races and trying new things.
Yeah, great question, Jason. I think, you know, you're obviously a big sports fan. And so we learned a lot, too, with, you know, what are other sports doing? What are some of the things that we were forced to do around a race weekend format? Some of those which we're learning from and actually have turned into a positive, where you've seen some things, you know, where we could run two races in one day. And, you know, how often do we need to practice? What does that do to affect the races? So, you know, one of those things was midweek racing that we always wanted to try. But as we looked at it, I think it was something that we could still look at in the future. But for us, you know, one of the key things around the sport of NASCAR is just, you know, the event aspect of it and families going and camping and, you know, going to a race, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And we recognize that that's really our sweet spot. So, you know, even when we look at Saturday night racing, our preference really is to be racing on Sunday if we can. Obviously, it depends on the marketplace, but you'll see us at least for 21 continue to focus on those weekend events. I would never rule out, you know, midweek in the future, but it's really got to be that right marketplace, probably closer to a city where folks can get to the track kind of in and out. So as we look at potential new markets, that may be an opportunity for us.
Steve O'Donnell, the executive vice president with NASCAR. And again, I kind of led him into that with midweek races, but that was something the pandemic made him do. They saw, there could be something here. I get what he's saying that, you know, race weekend and taking over for an entire weekend, that's obviously the preference, but they haven't closed the door on anything. And so, think about this for a second. You do a race weekend here in Nashville, you know, you could run the fairgrounds Wednesday night and the Super Speedway on Sunday. I would prefer two separate weekends, but that's basically what he's saying. A track that's in a city that's easy to get in and out of, you know, the fairgrounds certainly fits that mold being at the fairgrounds and right here in Nashville. The point is that they're not afraid to try it. And the pandemic, like I said, it didn't start this. It just sped up the process. They looked at the things that they had never done before. For instance, not having practice and qualifying and just showing up to the track and racing. And it proved to them that they can do it. Now, is that practice going to continue forever? It's a very good question. And this week on SiriusXM, TRD's David Wilson, Toyota Racing Development's David Wilson, talked about that and how he doesn't want to see it go back to how it was because this process has obviously helped them when it comes to finances.
I think the industry has learned something that we never would have before. We would never have had the courage, I think, collectively to say, let's not practice, right? I mean, that just sounds ridiculous. But now we've learned that we can show up at the racetrack and race. To your initial question, I would really be disappointed if we revert back to the old habits of 3 50-minute practices and qualifying. It's unnecessary. It's expensive, and so I'm optimistic that we can take this lesson and extrapolate, you know, a better a race weekend format going forward.
David Wilson, TRD. And that's my thing. I believe that they were going down this road of doing things differently, but not to that point. You know, I don't know if they ever really thought practice and qualifying, you know? And now they sit there and they go, well, the shows have been good. You know, the racing has been good. Kyle Busch is the only one that would tell you that it, you know, you need practice and qualifying. And I believe that in some cases you do. They are going to practice and qualify at tracks they've never been to. Next week at Bristol will be a prime example on the dirt. So I think it's important there. I would like to see qualifying come back for every track. But, you know, you don't have to have those three practice sessions. Maybe you have one and then qualifying, and then you're good to go. I get the cost side of it. You got to pay for extra tires, extra fuel, things like that. You got to, because they're showing up early, you're paying for hotel rooms for the crew and all of the, and travel. Well, you're going to pay for that anyway, but it's the extra nights that you're there. Whereas one day shows, I mean, it's a one day show. You're showing up and loading and boom, going at it. So I certainly get that side. I don't think it's going to go back to how it was. I don't think you're going to see three practices, qualifying, three-day shows. When I say a three-day show, I mean like the cup guys are there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I don't think you're going to see that. And they were already going down that path. You were seeing the one-day shows, as they were calling it, where they were having the quick practice session, qualifying, and then race. I think it's going to be more like that. And I think that's good. I think that's fine. I think with the simulators and the technology that these teams have, that certainly makes it where you don't have to have all that practice time on the track, unless it's, you know, dirt at Bristol. I certainly understand that being different. So NASCAR has shown they're willing to do new things, try new things, and I love that. And one thing that happened as a result of the pandemic was all the drivers were sitting at home, had nothing to do. Some of them already were iRacers, and then everybody became iRacers because NASCAR, iRacing, Fox, they said, well, why don't we put this on TV? These guys are going to do this anyway. Let's create the Pro Invitational Series. And it was so popular and so successful among the fans and people watching at home, and the drivers loved it, that they're bringing it back. And Alex Bowman, driver then of the 88, joined Darren Donick and Chase back in March, right after everything shut down, and they had just started the iRacing Invitational Series. And I asked him about, or Darren asked him about iRacing and what that process was like.
Yeah, it's pretty neat, you know, to be able to put on a show for the fans and have something to throw up on TV on the weekends. It's been fun. I'm not an iRacer by any means. My teammate William Byron is really big into it, so I've been trying to lean on him to learn what I can, but it's been neat. I think this past weekend was the first time I've played iRacing without a beer in my hand, so it's definitely a different approach for me than normal on the computer, but been having fun so far. It's become really serious really quickly. We're having conference calls and all kinds of stuff, just trying to figure out how to get better throughout the team. We've got sponsor decals and all kinds of serious stuff now. So we are all in at Hendrick Motorsports on the iRacing side of things. But if you're going to do it, you might as well try to win, right?
There you go, Alex Bowman. Last March, hard to believe that was a year ago. And so I bring up iRacing because they're bringing it up. They're bringing it back, starting Wednesday night on FS1 at 5 o'clock Central Time. The iRacing Pro Invitational Series returns. They're going to run Bristol Dirt. They have the format: 320 lap heats. Seven from those heats will make the 21 car field. So seven from each heat, and then it'll be a 70 lap main event. And the entry list hasn't been released yet, except for one, Dale Earnhardt Jr. is going to race. He did race last year during the Pro Invitational Series. He'll return to the 88 now that Bowman is in the 48. So Dale Jr. is going to run in that. I think it'll be cool. I don't know if it'll have the same feel that it did last year, because obviously nothing was going on, but I do think it's cool that they're bringing it back. So it'll be fun to watch Wednesday night on FS1. It is Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway, 1-866-RACE-TICKS. You can get your tickets there or go to NashvilleSuperspeedway.com for the Ally 400 weekend coming up June 18th, 19th, and 20th. The trucks will be there. The Xfinity Series will be there. And, of course, the Cup Series for the first time ever. We'll talk more about dirt racing at Bristol. A lot of the drivers have commented on it this week. We'll do that when we come back on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Yes, little TNT, AC/DC bringing us back, because that's exactly what's going to happen next week in East Tennessee. Welcome back into Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming everywhere on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. Chase McCabe here with you. Hope you're having a wonderful start to your Saturday, and hope your brackets aren't too busted like mine may be, but that's not what we're here to talk about. So, Atlanta this weekend, and we will set that up before we get out of here and also give you Sunday money, but also the Bristol Dirt Race coming up next weekend. I can't wait for this, and simply because I'm curious and don't know what the hell is going to happen, and I think that that is kind of the consensus from everybody, is they don't know what the hell's going to happen at the Bristol Dirt Races. So they did, of course, a few weeks ago, and we haven't really had a chance to talk about a lot of this. They did release the format. Four heat races, that's how they're going to do the qualifying. The starting positions in the heat races are going to be a random draw. 15 laps each, no overtime, only green flag laps will count. The free pass, wave around, that'll all be used. One of the biggest things that they've added to this, and this is something done in traditional dirt racing, and I don't pretend to be a dirt racing expert, but they're going to have passing points. And basically, drivers will earn passing points by finishing ahead of their starting position. If they finish where they started or lower, they get no passing points. And so those will be used to help determine the starting position for the marquee event, the main, by finishing position from the heat races and the passing points. So that's how they're going to get the lineup for the 250-lap feature, which will be broken down into the three stages like we're used to, and no choose rule. So that's the format for the dirt race next week. And I, like I said, I have no idea what it's going to be like. But here, going back to our original conversation of NASCAR trying new things, drivers and people talking about the sport have talked about the dirt race every freaking week since it was announced. Any press conference you watch with a driver, it comes up with the dirt race. Any driver that I have had on this show or my midday show, Darren Donick and Chase, 10 to 2 weekdays, ESPN 1-5 The Game, the dirt race has come up, including when Joey Logano was on with us a few weeks ago ahead of Vegas. I asked him about racing dirt at Bristol.
Yeah, just a little different. it'll change everything completely when you throw dirt on a racetrack. And it's an unknown for everybody. And like you said, some drivers have more experience on dirt than others, but nobody has experience on driving one of these Cup cars on dirt. So that'll be new for everybody. But everyone's trying to find ways to be able to get more experience. I've been racing a dirt modified, down in Volusia when we were in Daytona down there racing. Ran there a few nights trying to figure this dirt stuff out. Going to go up to Bristol and run my modified up there again the weekend before we're there at the Cup car. So it's just trying to, you're kind of going back to the grassroots of racing, learning on how to do this to compete against these other guys that have grown up in dirt, which I did not. I grew up racing short track asphalt stuff, so it's completely different. So I got to learn all the little nuances of, what makes a car go fast, where is the fast line, how do you pass cars. Shoot, I had to learn how to pull tear-offs off my helmet. So there's a lot of things to try to learn and figure out in a quick time. So it's been a fun challenge, and it's different, that is for sure. So we'll see how it goes.
Joey Logano, driver of the number 22, talking about Bristol dirt. And I think the mixed reaction, because that's what you've gotten. We had Darrell Waltrip on the show a few weeks ago, and I totally understand where DW's coming from. He's old school. He won there a lot. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And so he wasn't a huge fan of it. I think the mixed reactions from people is a good thing, because, again, it goes back to you're talking about it. You're talking about it. They've accomplished their goal. Everybody's going to be paying attention to Fox next weekend to see what kind of a bleep show this could possibly be. And I think that's what it's going to be, because you have guys that, you know, I was telling a friend that isn't a NASCAR fan that asked me about it. That right there, they're accomplishing their goal. They're getting people that don't watch the sport that are asking about it. And I said, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting because you're probably going to see somebody win that usually doesn't. Now, Christopher Bell will be good. I wish Bowyer was running it because he's, you know, he's got the background. Larson, of course, is going to be somebody to watch. But there are others in the field. Stuart Friesen, who's a Truck Series regular, is going to run it because he's got dirt experience. And the guys like Logano that don't have dirt experience, you know, how are they going to do? Because so many have run, you know, last night they started the Bristol Dirt Nationals. And Chris Ferguson, who's a regular, won it. Larson was second, so not a surprise. Chase Elliott ran that one in a super late. He finished 17th. Kyle Busch ran that, finished 13th. They got more racing tonight. You heard Logano saying he was going to run it. It's just going to be fun. And a few weeks ago when they were unveiling the formats and thing, Clint Bowyer of Fox Sports, this is a long answer because Clint likes to talk, he discussed Bristol Dirt.
Hey, man, I'm ready for something new. That new is here. This Bristol, this whole schedule this year is full of new and exciting things. Reach out things that the sport, you know, in my opinion, we've longed for it. We've needed to do this for a long time. That time is now. It is here. And I couldn't think of another, you know, anything other than this dirt racing opportunity at a track like Bristol. To be able to have more fun at. I know that the fans are pumped up. I see it on social media, and I am. My dirt late model teams that travel across the country, I mean, this is the hype. This is the talk of short track racing all across the country. There's a lot of racing that's going to happen on this racetrack even before we get there for our NASCAR weekend. I think that's beneficial to a lot of things, setting the stage for dirt racing and certainly preparing this racetrack. I think it's paramount that we make sure that the track is ready for our heavy vehicles. And I love that the approach that the track is taking of making sure that they have that. I've heard of upwards of over 1,300 cars are going to be entered to this race beforehand. That's a lot of racing. That's a lot of checking the boxes of things that can potentially pop up that you were unexpected. And, you know, so I love that. That's a great plan. In my opinion, I love the give props to Scott and his team, man. This qualifying procedures is true to dirt form. As he said, I like that. Hey, we're dirt racing, man. It is a little bit different than what we see on any given Sunday. So I like the aspect of the passing points have always been something when I grew up in racing that was very difficult to do and something that's kind of all over the place. It's a good story to be able to tell up in the booth to our fans. Keep an eye on this guy, man. Random draw. I've been there. Been on the pole and been that guy that didn't have anybody to pass, but I can bet your butt you better not go backwards because you're going to be in big trouble. But I've also been that guy that has that rabbit to chase starting at the back and be able to capitalize on those passing points. So be very interesting to see, you know, who is able to capitalize on this qualifying procedure and be able to start up front for this prestigious race.
Clint Bowyer, Fox Sports, talking about Bristol and the dirt series race. I think the passing points, which again, I don't know that much about it. I think that's going to be just a cool thing for fans to learn about and to watch. And, you know, Clint will do a good job of explaining the procedure there because he has that background. It's going to be fantastic. And I also mentioned some of the drivers that, you know, Chase Elliott was one of them. He actually talked earlier this week. He tried to get a truck ride put together because so many are going to be running the truck race the next weekend to prepare for that, but was unable to do so.
I put some effort in trying to get into a truck next week. I would have liked to. It just didn't pan out. So this was a great opportunity, I thought, just to go and, you know, I don't necessarily think the cars are going to drive very similar to the cup cars next week. But to just see the racetrack and be able to just get some hands-on experience with it before we show up next week, I think will be helpful. I do think the trucks will drive way more like the cup cars next week when it comes to the actual driving capability of them. So,
Yeah, I would have loved to have gotten in truck. Didn't work out, but I think going and doing this will help me just to visualize things, understand the racetrack a little more, and just kind of get a just to get a little bit of a feel for, you know, what dirt is like there at Bristol before we just show up. But yeah, I'm excited about it. I haven't been a late model in a long time, so I'm not really sure what to expect, but I'm looking forward to trying.
Chase Elliott, the defending Cup Series champion, he did run the late model race last night. And I told you he got caught up in some trouble, finished 17th. So we'll talk so much more about the Bristol Dirt Race as it is next week. I cannot wait for it. It's going to be an awesome weekend with so many Cup drivers running in the truck race to get ready for it. I know Ryan Newman announced that he's running the truck race, Martin Truex Jr., several others, to try and get some extra experience behind the wheel before the big show on Sunday. Speaking of big shows on Sundays, Atlanta has it this weekend. When we come back here on Chasing Checkers, we'll discuss that. We'll get you set up and give you some Sunday money as well. It's Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app, YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, Twitter, all of those things. Hope you're having a great Saturday so far. Chase McCabe hanging out with you this morning as we get ready for racing from the Atlanta Motor Speedway, one of my favorite tracks. I went there a few years ago for the first time, and that was one that was on my list. And you would think that it's 3.5 hours away from Nashville, so you would think that I've been there several times. And for whatever reason, every weekend that they were there and I wanted to go, I had some conflict, so I couldn't go. And so a few years ago, I'm working a Preds game Saturday night, and I get a text from my buddy Chris Childers of SiriusXM, and he's like, hey, I want to go to the race. You want to go? And I said, yeah, when? What race? And he goes, like, tomorrow, Atlanta. I'm like, you serious? And he goes, yeah, let's get up in the morning and drive down. And I said, okay. And so we ended up getting, got pit passes and all those things and went down and had a fun time. And I think Brad Keselowski won the race, and it was awesome. I love Atlanta. I have always loved that racetrack, and so I'm glad that they are going to go run twice a year there. And I know they've talked about maybe, because the surface is really old, I know they've talked about possibly reconfiguring it back to how it used to be. You know, the 90s, it looked different. 97, in between the two races, they reconfigured it to what it is now. And so I know they've talked about doing some things, but it's a cool racetrack and just a fun facility. So looking forward to that. And Chase Elliott going into that race, you know, he is right now the favorite to win the championship and to repeat as the Cup Series champion. But obviously that is his hometown racetrack, and you know it would be special to him to get the win. But as he said this week during media availability, it's a tough place.
Yeah, Atlanta's tough. You know, just an old surface for sure, which I think makes it fun for the drivers. I feel like a lot of people enjoy going there because of that. But overall for us, it's been super hit or miss. And frankly, I really don't know why. We've gone there and we've had some really good runs, days where I thought, you know, a couple days that I thought we were capable of winning. And then we've been there and just been way out to lunch. So I'm not exactly sure what that is all the time. Yeah, obviously, you know, car configurations and rules and different packages and all that stuff plays a role in it. So hopefully this week we can be more on the hit side and execute a good race. Obviously, you have to have things going well for you to have a shot to win anywhere, but definitely have to execute a good race to, you know, put yourself in position to win. So hopefully we can check both those boxes.
Chase Elliott, driver of the number 9 Napa Chevy. And of course, Napa, big sponsor in the Atlanta area, and Chase Elliott being from there. 1:30 Central Time on Fox, and Denny Hamlin will lead the field and be on the pole as a result of, you know, their qualifying or their lineup procedure that that they have this year. And so the top 10 for you, Denny Hamlin, as I said, on the pole. Last week's winner, Martin Truex Jr., is second. Joey Logano, third. Brad Keselowski will roll off fourth. Chase Elliott will roll off fifth. Kyle Larson, sixth. Kevin Harvick, seventh. Christopher Bell, eighth. William Byron, ninth. Ryan Blaney rounds out the top 10 in the starting lineup for the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500 from the Atlanta Motor Speedway. There have been, as I told you earlier, five different winners to start the season. That is the 15th time in the modern era that that has happened, where five races, five different winners. The last time there were six was in 2014. Will that happen again this week? I actually think it will. Because you think about the guys that haven't won yet. Harvick hasn't won yet. Hamlin hasn't won yet. Elliott hasn't won yet. Kyle Busch hasn't won yet. I think the odds are in the favor of a sixth different winner. And as I said to start the show, I like that. I like that is a thing. The last or the record is 10 different winners to start the season. That happened in the year 2000. And what was cool about that is that Dale Earnhardt and Dale Earnhardt Jr. were a part of that stat, because Dale Sr. won at Atlanta and Dale Jr. won his first race at Texas. That was his rookie year. So in 2000, 10 different winners to start the season. We'll see what happens if there will be a six this week. Kevin Harvick, three wins among active drivers. Kurt Busch also has three wins. Kevin Harvick is the defending winner of this race. Denny Hamlin, four top fives to start the season, but no wins yet. He has 21 starts, one win, five top fives, eight top tens at this racetrack. Finished fifth last year. Those stats lead us in to Sunday Money. This is how this works. For betting purposes, the odds come from BetMGM, my good friends. I give you three that I feel pretty good about, and then one long shot as well. The favorite going into this weekend is the defending race winner. That is Kevin Harvick. He is plus 550 to win this weekend. But I don't have him in my top three. I just don't think he's there yet. I think the closer will be around, but I don't think it's going to be him just yet. Chase Elliott, number one, plus 800. I do like the hometown boy to come in and get the win from the Atlanta Motor Speedway. Joey Logano, plus 900. I had him on the list last week. He is right there knocking at the door after his second top five of the year. Ryan Blaney has had some sneaky solid runs as of late, and I believe that he's due, and I liked that plus 1,100, so I put him there. And then Kurt Busch, he's a three-time winner at the Atlanta Motor Speedway. He's had a pretty good start, some decent runs for the season. I have him at plus 2,500. So there you go, your Sunday money picks. I'll tweet those out as well. That's going to do it for this edition of Chasing Checkers, brought to you by the Nashville Super Speedway. NashvilleSuperspeedway.com is a website. You can get your tickets there. 1-866-RACE-TIX as well. ChasingCheckersRadio.com has all of our content. The podcast is there, or you can search iTunes and Spotify for the podcast as well, and give us a follow on Twitter at Chasing_Checkers, at 1025 The Game as well. We'll talk to you next week. Bristol Dirt, gonna be fun. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game.